B-Pod Studios.
I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mast.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B. Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mast.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell out for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, so the mock draft I was talking about was that of Todd McShay. Swamp Scott's own Todd McShay on ESPN. He and Mel Kiper, I don't know. I used to really look at, who was my guy in Dallas? Rick Goslin.
Rick Goslin, yeah.
Is he still doing it? Is he still with?
Good question. I don't know.
Yeah, he used to be considered, you know, among the best. Bob McGinn, who used to cover the Packers in Wisconsin, is another guy. So, like, these are, like, the elite draft guys. But certainly McShay might be the highest profile draft guy and established draft guy in all of the media. He released a mock draft. I don't know, was this his first mock draft or whatever?
Yeah, he's done like, a handful of them already so far.
Yeah, he's done more than one, yeah.
Okay, so his latest mock draft, I want to give it to you. I'm going to go through it until we get to the Patriots at number 15.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's got Lawrence 1 to the Jags. Number 2, Jets. Okay, this is like the question of the whole draft, right? The Jets drafted Sam Darnold up high a couple of years ago. Now they're in position to take Fields there at Ohio State or the next quarterback off the board. He's got the Jets keeping Darnold and drafting this tackle out of Oregon, Sewell. Panay Sewell. I'm going to, this is like an early Felgram-ass big board segment where I'm going to butcher half these names.
And by the way, just quickly, it was his first mock. You're right. You're right. Okay. So I was wrong there. It's his first mock draft.
First mock draft out of the chute. And this is a guy that talks to people and teams. And so he does not have Justin Fields, the Ohio State quarterback, going two. He's got Panay Sewell, this big tackle out of Oregon, going two to the Jets. Give him bookends with that Mekhi Becton at left tackle. You've seen him, Maz.
Oh, I mean, he's a monster.
Oh, gigantic. He is, that guy's an apartment building.
The biggest human being I've ever seen in my life.
He makes Trent Brown look like Sosi.
Oh, he's freaking huge. That's the guy at the left side. So now they're going to draft another tackle, and they're going to keep Darnold, and that's the idea with the Jets. So he's got Sewell, number two to the Jets. Number three, Dolphins. Because the Dolphins have the Houston Texans pick. So they're going to bail on Tua Tagovailoa, draft their quarterback. They're going to draft Fields or this Zach Wilson? Nope. He's got the Dolphins taking the Heisman Trophy winner, Smith, the receiver out of Alabama. Then he's got four Atlanta. They need a quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
So McShay has him taking a quarterback. Zach Wilson from BYU. So Atlanta takes the, they do need the quarterback of the future, but they take Zach Wilson instead of Justin Fields. Okay. Now we're at five. Cincinnati, they don't need a quarterback. He's got he's going to have them draft a tackle out of Northwestern to protect Joe Burrow. So now we're at six. I'll just rifle through these. Six, Philly, they got an inside linebacker from Penn State, Micah Parsons, Detroit. And Philly, you know, you could argue needs a quarterback, right?
Yeah.
Not taking a quarterback. They're taking a linebacker from Penn State. Number seven, Detroit. They could use a quarterback, right?
Absolutely.
Matt Stafford's 33, going on 34. So they could be in a position to draft Justin Fields. Nope. McShay's got him taking Lamar Chase, the receiver out of LSU. Carolina needs a quarterback, right?
Yeah.
He's got them taking the tight end out of Florida, Kyle Pitts. Now we're at Denver, number nine. They need a quarterback, right?
Yep,
definitely.
Big time. He's got them taking an inside linebacker out of Notre Dame. Should I attempt this name? Oh. Jeremiah... Owusu-Koramoah.
Good job.
That's actually pretty good.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, good job.
I got to figure out how to butcher that.
That's the biggest upset of the whole thing.
That's no good that I figure out the name. Dallas at 10, maybe, if you say they want to move on from Dak Prescott, could use a quarterback. But nope. He's got them taking Pat Surtain, two. It's Pat Surtain the second.
Makes me feel a million years old.
Yeah, right? Seriously.
Are we that old? That Surtain's kid is now being drafted, but he is. Okay, Giants at 11, not taking a quarterback, taking an edge player from Miami, Greg Rousseau. The Niners at 12, they probably could use a quarterback, right, Maz? Even though Garoppolo's a guy, he's a little older, injury-prone. Like, nope, Niners not taking a quarterback. Caleb Farley, cornerback out of Virginia Tech. Get to the Chargers, they don't need a quarterback, obviously. They'll take a corner out of Ohio State. Now we're at Minnesota at 14. They need a quarterback, right? A young quarterback, anyway. Nope. McShay's got him taking a tackle out of Virginia Tech. So now we're at the Patriots at number 15. And he's got Justin Fields going to the Patriots at number 15. What do you make of that?
I mean, if this were to ever play out this way, it'd be unbelievable. I don't see Fields falling that far, but if that ever happened, like, I think you potentially have your next quarterback and the guy that's going to be here for the next decade. I think the kid, I mean, he has stones.
I was stunned when I saw this, and I thought, is this really a possibility? Like, the idea that a quarterback like that could slip to them? And I think that there's still, you know, there's a ripple effect of this, too, because even the people who look at it and say, well, Fields will never slip to that. Well, after him, you still have other guys going. Remember, he's only the third quarterback.
So McShay has five quarterbacks going in the first round. He's got Trey Lance from North Dakota going 19 to Washington, and he's got Mac Jones from Alabama going 21 to, and I didn't write
Indianapolis.
To Indianapolis at 21, Mac Jones. So there's five quarterbacks in the first round, Mass. Go ahead.
Yeah, so my point is that if the third one doesn't go until the middle of the first round, then you're guaranteed of getting Fields, Wilson, Jones, Trey Lance, or even if you wanted to throw the Florida kid on the list, Kyle Trask, you could take your pick of the litter. Like, so I saw that and went, whoa, like the idea that these teams, all these teams would pass on quarterbacks never occurred to me. So I want to know, what does he know? What does he know that teams are going to stay away from QBs?
I mean, certain teams like Carolina, you're set with Teddy Bridgewater. Detroit at 33 years old, you're good with Matt Stafford. Like, some of that just makes no sense. But if it ever played out that way, that'd be unbelievable.
So I'll tell you what, the other thing that occurred to me, okay, let's say he's right. Let's say that McShay's right. And that you get to the 15th pick and you can pick Justin Fields. Or Josh, is Josh, right? What did he say? Justin? Okay, Justin Fields. So let's say you can pick him. You think Bill will do it?
Oh, probably not.
I mean, wouldn't it be so him to have the guy fall into his lap and have it be the obvious pick and him draft a defensive tackle?
Yeah, so this is the part that got me angry this morning thinking about this. He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't take this kid.
Maz, I've already braced myself for this. It's going to be a tackle on one of the sides of the line, either an offensive tackle or a defensive tackle.
So, I mean, I'm torn on this because, well, I mean, first let me answer your question, Maz. You said, you know, what does McShay know? And this is what I think, and we'll play a sound for you coming up of him talking about it. I think he thinks Justin Fields isn't that good. Or he's gotten that sense that teams look at Justin Fields and say he's not the guy. He's not the guy. Teams are down on Justin Fields, or he's down on Justin Fields. There's no other justification. I mean, there is no other reason, Maz. Because, as you know, Vinny Crouch, our simulcast producer, points out that, you know, for all of this to be true, for all of this to happen, okay, for Justin Fields to drop into the Patriots lap at 15, the following has to happen. You have to go, this is like a superfecta. This is like a 10 for 10. What has to happen is, one, the Jets have to decide to stick with Darnold and not draft a quarterback. Miami has to decide to stick with Tua and not draft a quarterback. Atlanta is going to have to prefer Zach Wilson at BYU over Fields. The Lions are going to have to pass on the quarterback. The Panthers are going to have to pass on a quarterback. The Broncos, who desperately need one, are going to have to pass on a quarterback. The Cowboys are going to have to pass on a quarterback. The Giants are going to stick with Jones. The 49ers are going to have to pass on a quarterback and go back with Jimmy Garoppolo or trade for someone. And the Vikings are going to have to pass on a quarterback. Now, some of those, I think, are pretty easy. I think the Giants are going to pass on the quarterback.
Me too.
Yeah.
And I think the Cowboys are going to pass on the quarterback.
So I think Miami's going to pass too.
And Miami, you know, is...
They'd be idiots to do that.
To what?
To pass on a quarterback. I don't think two is the answer. And you have a better shot at it taking another one, right? And then trade whoever ends up not working out.
So even if you take out the Cowboys and the Giants, which I think are reaches on Vinny's point, the rest... You talk about things falling into place.
Right.
The Jets have got to decide on Darnold. Miami has to decide on Tua. Atlanta, Detroit, Carolina, Denver, the Niners, and Minnesota all have to say, nope, the kid's not good enough. And then all of a sudden he's there at 15. Justin Fields, I'm not a huge Justin Fields guy. I watched him the other night. I thought he was terrific. But do you understand that Justin Fields, from the day he was 17 years old, has been neck and neck with Trevor Lawrence?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They were the two highest recruits in 2018 when they came out of high school. Some recruiting services had Justin Fields first and Trevor Lawrence second. And it was like, it was 1 and 1A. These kids have been 1 and 1A since the day they were 16, 17 years old. You know, this is even coming out of high school. These two, it was 1 and 2. So Fields is a thoroughbred. This is not some guy out of nowhere who just got hot his senior year or junior year or whatever, you know, just started running around making some plays. He's been considered blue chip elite quarterback guy, prospect, since he was 17 years old. So you're not getting some sort of scrub here or some sort of late flash. This guy's legit, and he has been legit. And when I've watched him in big games, I feel like it's justified. I feel like Fields has shown me more in his big games than Lawrence has shown me in his big games.
Well, especially this last one. And it wasn't even like the big throws. It was the ones into small windows, like some of those to the tight end. It's like, whoa, all right, now I get what the hype is around this kid. And I usually have that school bias thing, but I'm now off that because the kid with the L.A. Chargers ended up working out. Because like, I hate Oregon quarterbacks, but hey, you know what? He's good. So I'm not going to have the bias against Ohio State because typically the quarterbacks out of there stink, but Fields looks like the real deal.
I also think there's an intangible thing with him. And when I say intangible, I'm not talking that he can win all the time. I mean, I think he's a leader. It feels to me like the other guys around him really respond to him. I don't know if Lawrence has that or not. I'm not saying he doesn't. But I believe in the leadership thing at quarterback because there are guys that don't have, like Derek Carr to me does not have it. And it's apparent. But this kid's got that quality.
So again, we'll play the McShay sound, but I think McShay's down on Justin Fields. The question is that just McShay talking, or is that him talking to talent evaluators in the league who've told him, no, he's not the guy. The BYU kid's better, and he shouldn't be next to Trevor Lawrence. He's not that good. I don't know. I don't watch enough college football to tell you myself. It's a small sample. And, you know, McShay will tell you that Justin Fields, raw from a decision-making standpoint, sticks with his first read, doesn't really read the field, doesn't really scan the field. And that scares me. I don't want that guy. I would spend all day yesterday and this week, and I'll say it all offseason. I want a heady quarterback for Bill Belichick. And I do want to cater to Bill when it comes to the quarterback position. Because, we've hitched our wagon to Bill's brain. So you might as well maximize it. Give him a quarterback that can take Bill's information and process it as best as he possibly can. And, you know, I want a thinking man's quarterback. And if Justin Fields is more of an athlete than a quarterback, then I don't have much interest in that. But, boy, the kid's a stud. He's been a stud his entire life. He's like, and he's going to drop you at 15 and you have this glaring need and you're not going to do it? I don't know, man. I think you're almost compelled to do it, aren't you?
Well, look, I would say yes. I mean, this is, in fact, I would tell you that's exactly the kind of guy you should gamble on. That a guy who is, you know, highly touted as any player in the nation going into college and then maybe slips a notch or a little bit or maybe slips a lot. Like, but that profile and then slips to you in the draft and you need a quarterback, that's exactly the kind of guy you should go get. I mean, just as a quick example, didn't Aaron Rodgers slip?
Yeah. 25 or something.
Didn't Dan Marino slip?
The last pick of the first round.
Right. So, and those guys are Hall of Fame quarterbacks. But for whatever reason, somewhere in the middle there, they slipped. Okay. And all of a sudden, a team looks at it and goes, wait a minute, this is too good to pass up. That's exactly the kind of guy you should do it for. I just don't believe that Bill would do it. That's what worries me.
You know, even after this horrible year that should be humbling, you know he's not going to be humbled. You know his instinct is, well, everyone thinks I should do this. Everyone is saying I'm going to do it. I'm not going to do it. You know, like that's just the way he does it. Like you would just know him by now. And it would be so him to have like this gift from God drop into your lap at 15 and him draft an offensive tackle. Yeah. You just know that's coming.
The path to Fields. And he decides not to walk it.
But that's a stunner. And you know, what makes this different, I'd have to go back and look at the board, Maz, when, you know, Aaron Rodgers was there and when Dan Marino went in that draft with Tony Eason and all those quarterbacks,
yes,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Blackledge and that was the Elway draft too, right?
I think so. And but there was a mitigating thing there. Dan Marino had a big off-field thing, if you know.
Sure.
If you know what I'm saying there, and I think that's why he dropped. I don't know unless there's something like that on Justin Fields. For McShay to be hearing that from all those quarterback needy teams, this is what I'm trying to say, is that I can't remember how many teams needed a quarterback who passed on Rodgers or how many teams that needed a quarterback passed on Marino. I mean, there were other options for him, obviously, all those quarterbacks that went that year. This, you know, in the top 10, like 7 of them need a quarterback. And they're going to pass on a guy that's been considered 1 and 1A to Trevor Lawrence since the day he was 17 years old. All those teams are going to pass? What's wrong with Justin Fields? So we'll pick this up on the other side with your calls. This is Brady Belichick. We'll circle back to the Celtics and Maz's Guy Pritchard, too, as well. All with your calls right after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter @Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for. It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's the surprising part, to me at least. I have felt like for much of the last 2 years, Lawrence and Fields were sort of 1 and 1A. So what has happened that Justin Fields now on your mock draft has fallen all the way to 15 and isn't even the second quarterback off the board?
Yeah, well, Zach Wilson from BYU has really risen. He had a great year this year. And listen, you could see Fields go number four. He could go to Atlanta. And I struggled with it, to be completely honest. But at the end of the day, I think Zach Wilson is a better player. I think his ability to extend plays, his ability to throw the ball down the field and make plays. And Justin Fields is a really good player as well. But he gets stuck on his primary a lot. And if you really study his game, I worry about him in the NFL in terms of adjusting and being able to go from that first look to the second look and processing fast enough. And that really, the more tape I've studied, the more concern I've had. And I know he's coming off of a great game and obviously is a great competitor, but I just think Zach Wilson is a little bit of a better player. And then there's not a lot of teams that need quarterbacks from that number four spot on down to 15, where I have the Patriots taking Justin Fields.
So, if he's got Wilson over Fields, fine. Like, I'm going to defer to him on that. When he says there's not many teams that need quarterbacks from 4 to 15, I would strongly disagree with that.
Yeah, that's insane to me.
My guess is that teams are playing possum with him or manipulating him. You know, in other words, he's talking to people from teams, and they're saying, yeah, you know, we could use one, but we're not going to take one in the first round. And maybe because they're trying to dissuade other teams from doing it, you know, and then they get the guy they want, right? Like, you know, you play that sort of shell game with teams, or, you know, musical chairs game, if you will. So maybe that, I can't imagine that only two quarterbacks are going to go by the time the Patriots pick.
But in that area, 4 to 15, Detroit, Carolina, Denver, I mean, you're going to tell me that if a quarterback was there, they wouldn't consider taking it and wouldn't take one? That's insane to me.
I mean, especially, you know, there's a little bit of a regime change there. Well, both Denver and Carolina are going to have new GMs.
Right.
They're not going to want their guy. Detroit's going to have a new GM. I'm sorry. Detroit, Carolina, and Denver are all going to have new GMs. They're not going to. Philly, you can make a case for, you know, not going at number six because they still have to pay Carson Wentz all that money. They may not be able to trade him. They drafted
Hurts. Hurts
in the second round last year, and he showed him something. So maybe you can make a case Philly's not, you know, not in the quarterback market. I think you could easily say Dallas and New York at 10, 11 aren't. The Niners are going to have a chance at a real guy, and they're going to pass. The Niners and Minnesota are both going to pass after Detroit, Carolina, and Denver all pass on a guy that's been considered neck and neck with Trevor Lawrence his entire life. I don't, boy. I mean, if he's right, he's right. And now are you at 15? Now, is that opening up something where you're just making the pick because you have to make the pick? The guy's fallen for a reason. He's not that good. And all of a sudden, but you're so desperate for a quarterback, and it makes too much sense on the surface that you make that. Like, that's where you make the big mistake, right?
Yes. Yeah. Which, again, now the luxury that they will have, or the advantage they will have, is that free agency will, in theory, have taken place and run its course by then. So by the time the draft rolls around, you know, maybe they already have a quarterback and they don't have to press for one in the draft. But if they don't, it's a recipe for disaster, Mike, is what you're getting at.
Yep.
Like, if some of these quarterbacks go, and then all of a sudden there's one on the board or two on the board, but you don't really love either one, and now you're picking 15, but you don't have your quarterback, are you going to do something stupid?
Okay. Thoughts on this? Thoughts on Brady this weekend? Are you rooting for Brady? And if you're not, why not? Brendan in South Boston. Go ahead, Brendan.
I got 2 points I'll hang up. Number one, 2008, I think, was the worst thing for the Brady-Belichick. The era, Castle went 11-5 with a top five roster of all time. the JV QB at Dorchester High could have went 9-7. And secondly, when are these young puppies going to learn? Someone asked Josh Sweat if he's ever heard of Anthony Johnson. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, I don't know what Anthony Johnson he's talking about.
He's probably shouting out friends, I would imagine.
Something okay. Like the combined, yes. And so it's the 08 record's the worst thing that ever happened in the Belichick-Brady thing because it's given us the false us, people like me I'm talking about, the false sense that it's the program more than Brady. They could plug in other quarterbacks and still win at a high level. I add in the Garoppolo-Brissett year, too. I do. That's 3-1. So that weighed heavily with me. 14-6 in those games without Brady. Since, you know, after Belichick got, I'm not talking about Cleveland a million years ago. I'm not talking about 2000 when he first got here. I start the clock once the program got going here in New England. Bills won with other quarterbacks, at least before this year. And that was my analysis. It was. And I felt they'd keep that going. Not contend for a championship. You know, 11 wins, I don't think I ever really thought was possible, but contending for the division, you know, 10 double-digit wins, yeah, that's what I thought they were going to be. I did. I got duped. I was fooled. And I'm pissed, and I want Brady to rub it in. I mean, that's pretty much it in a nutshell, Maz. So, I mean, I've made it personal, too, a little bit. Here's Ben in the car. Go ahead, Ben. You're up next with Felger and Maz.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. When thinking about Brady this weekend playing Washington, I mean, if he can't beat the football team this weekend, what does that say about him? Because we thought he's so great with winning in the playoffs. So if he can't rise above the coach that he has and win without Bill in the playoffs, has he really had a successful season? Can you really consider it a win?
Thank you, Ben. This is what we talk about if he loses, Maz, a consequence for the loss. This is exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so I understand that part of it. What I would tell you is a successful season, I don't know if he... But he's had a more successful one than Bill either way.
I mean, I've been parading around here the last couple of weeks saying Brady won, Brady won. And he still would have, but if he loses Saturday night, it's now a lowercase W. It doesn't carry as much weight.
Bill took a beating this year,
though. It doesn't. Oh, but if Brady loses one and done, he'll take a beating, too. He will.
It'll get worse. I understand what you mean.
Right now, he won, so I want a clear... So now I want a demonstrative victory.
You want clear lines. So do I.
I want to see Murray's Hogan on the table, you know, tattooed with the old orange, you know, creamsicle tattoo on his Johnson on the table, pounding it for 2 weeks. That's what I want.
Yeah, my ballot's in. I've already submitted my ballot.
here's Greg in Quincy. He says he wants to give Belichick a mulligan. Go ahead, Greg.
Does he get a mulligan for 1 year?
Yes.
No.
Well, why not? He's done it for 20 consecutive years almost.
Okay, no. That's not what I mean, though. I'm talking about the quarterback position. I'm not talking about the 7-9.
But who are they going to get in the offseason? It's a crap year. Nobody in the stands. Do the Kraft family can't spend any money this year? They load up for next year? I think we're being a little bit too hard on Bill.
Okay, I mean, if you start screwing around with your phone more like that, I'm going to throw myself off a building. Is he worth a mulligan? I'm jammed up here, Jimmy, if you'd let him go. If in hindsight, if 5 years from now, the Patriots have got their quarterback, Bill rebounded this offseason, you know, he got Garoppolo back and they started winning again or something.
Yeah, right? Sure. I gotcha.
And they go from 7-9 to 11-5, contending for the division. And then within a couple of years, they're back contending for championships. And we go back and we look at it and say, well, he blew that year after Brady left. That was no good. But he got back pretty quick and they're back. Yeah, we'll give him that 1 year mulligan, but you know, not until then. I'm not giving it to him right now.
No. Okay, so that's my point, is that I'm not going to sit here right now and say, yeah, he gets a mulligan, not knowing what's going to happen over the next 4 years. What if they get worse?
Right, and I thought he was going to do what I've seen way too much of, at least on stupid Twitter, is like, no, it's a fake year because of COVID. Well, COVID didn't derail Tennessee or Baltimore or Cleveland, but it did to you. So what, he should get a pass because it's a weird year and it's COVID? No, absolutely not.
See, this is what makes me agitated about Bill in general, and I'm sorry to step on your mic, is that it's never his fault. It's COVID. And this is where all this excuse making comes from, is that there will always be some sort of Bill Belichick explanation instead of just acknowledging, no, the bottom line is we didn't draft anybody and I waited too long to sign a free agent, all while I was cashing checks for $25 million and crying about the fact that we didn't have any money. Like, so I look at that and say, I'm not giving Bill a mulligan for that. No way. He's had 3 years to figure this out. Three. And he hasn't figured it out yet.
Right. I'm just talking about he has a chance to rebound and have it look not so bad in hindsight. Okay. But that's, we get back to me in 5 years. Right now, oh, they butchered it. Right now, this year was a big litmus test. They let that guy walk out the door. You better have some answers, and they didn't. There's no mulligan on that. But speaking of the excuse making, Matt in Middleborough, why don't you give it to me, Matt?
Hey, love the show, guys. I'm not necessarily a Bill Belichick fan. I can't stand the way he treats people. I just think he's despicable on that front. But I just think that for a team that is so well coached every year and relies so much on preparation, I would imagine a year like this matters in the conversation, and that we got to wait at least another till next year to make the final analysis. No.
No. No, Matt. If they're so well prepared, then they're able to overcome virtual meetings and Zoom meetings and not being on the field or whatever everyone else has had to deal with. If they're so dialed in and such a strong organization, they excel with that adversity. They don't succumb to it. And that's what I thought was going to happen going into the year. I said COVID will benefit them because all these bozo teams won't be able to handle it. It turns out they weren't the ones that were able to handle it.
I love this. And you know what? Michael Lombardi said something to this effect too recently, although he was talking about the offseason, saying, well, for a team like the Patriots, the coaching, the loss of the offseason or traditional offseason, that was a real killer. Please. Oh, but for everybody else, it was actually an advantage or a walk in the park. Look, the thing is, you can dice this up however you want, and there's no way around this part of it for Belichick. He's botched the draft, and they don't have enough talent on the roster. Now, whether they've had off-season workouts, whether they had COVID in week three or week four, whatever the hell that was, week two, I don't even remember at this stage. Whatever it was, there's not enough talent here, and that's Bill's fault.
Period. Paragraph. Here comes a big update from Big Jim Murray, and we come back and Chase Winovich going after a friend of ours, Maz. We'll discuss this right after these headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Not complaining.
Oh, you're the mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Are you aware of Greg Bedard's report in the last couple of days about you and your status with the team?
I mean, that was kind of, I'm aware of that. That was a little, I wasn't going to bring it up, but I mean, that's a little confusing.
That's what we're here for.
First off, I don't even know who, Greg Bedard is. And secondly, I don't really... Yes. I'm not exactly sure why he's slandering my name in that sense and making it seem like, I'm a problem or, I really was a little confused. He doesn't even quote anonymous people. He just speculates on rumors and stuff he's heard. It just doesn't make sense. And I think it's a little unfair, but, people are allowed to have their own opinions. And that's part of the whole, control what you can control. I try to operate every single day from the mindset, I'm going to be the best teammate I can be, the best human I can be, and treat the game and, just everything around me with respect. So I don't know who's making, saying these things to him or if he even has a real informant or if he's just making it up. But I think it's pretty cheap journalism.
Okay, Chase Winovich on a bad cell phone, going after our guy Greg Bedard. Cheap journalism, is that what he said?
Yep.
Here's what Greg Bedard wrote on Boston Sports Journal. He says, Chase Winovich had a monster game against the Jets, which we also saw earlier in the season. But in between, just a sub-rusher role for Chase Winovich, just a sub-pass rusher. Why? Bedard says because he can't be counted on a down-to-down basis, to do his job on the edge. And I'm not sure the team will ever trust him to do that. He's almost certain to have competition at the position next year. There's also the issue of his mouth, which is a concern internally because he rarely thinks he's wrong and is a bit of a locker room lawyer, in parentheses. Sounds like someone around here who writes about football. I think he's talking about himself.
He is, I think.
He says, Bedard writes, I floated moving him to inside linebacker, but that has been shot down Because of the lack of faith, he will consistently do the correct things within the scheme. So that was Belichick, or I'm sorry, Bedard's Freudian slip there. Maybe, I don't think it's Belichick. But that was Bedard's quote-unquote takedown of Chase Winovich. I don't think it was that bad. I think it's pretty accurate. I mean, he's had long stretches where he didn't play a lot.
Yeah, don't the results on the field back up what Greg is writing?
I mean, there's a reason he's not on the field every snap. There's something they see that they can't rely on or that they think he can't do on a down-to-down basis. Like, I mean, it's all sort of pretty obvious. The snap count tells the story.
Even as late in the season, the second game against Miami, he had given up, or he was one of the guys responsible for giving up one of the many big runs of the day, and they sat his ass down for a handful of plays.
I mean, remember, too, right? Like, it's one thing if, you know, we're talking about Anthony Jennings or Uche. Those guys are just in this year's draft. So if they're not playing a lot in the first year, that's not unusual with Bill. I mean, you go as you go along. This is his second year. This is Winovich's second year. And they basically, you know, what you're hearing coming out of there now through Bedard, and I think that that's how really it should be portrayed, is what you're hearing coming out of there through Bedard, is that this kid's not getting it. He's not picking it up. He's not necessarily, you know, doing what they want him to do and embracing the principles of the Patriots operation. And so his playing time's going to reflect it. Like, how's that Greg's fault?
This is Greg just relaying what he's hearing in the team.
Correct.
When he says, I floated moving him to inside linebacker, like, you know, Greg sitting at the personnel table, you know, is there swapping ideas on what to do with the roster? But that's sort of what he's implying there, is that he's probably asked coaches about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what about inside? Would he be a better fit there? And he says that was shot down because of the lack of faith that he will consistently do the correct things within the scheme. I mean, I think that the snap count confirms what Greg is writing there. The part that I find, you know, interesting is that the issue of his mouth. You know, this I would hope that is not being held against him. His goofy interview with Beadle and Zoe here during the year, which is a great interview, but it's just, you know, guy's got an opinion on everything, and he's kind of a jackass, or a colorful guy or goofball. I mean, well, however you feel about that stuff, Bill would say jackass. That, you know, that's not held against him. Like, I mean, just because he's doing a radio interview where he gets colorful, that's no reason to shut a guy down on the field. And I would hope, and I would like to think that Bill's not doing that thing.
What if it's not his media mouth? What if it says, what was that thing early in the year, Murray? Remember when he started yelling back? Not yelling back.
No. He took a block to the back penalty on an interception return that drew a 15-yard penalty. And then he got to the sideline and started arguing with Bill about it.
Okay, so this is my point. What if it's that?
Right.
What if it's that mouth?
No, that mouth is not. No, they're not going to put up with that kind of mouth.
Okay, so what if you want to do your goofy interview with Zolak and Bertrand and talk about, you know, Mars and whatever else you want to talk about, aliens and government, you know, releases and announcements. Go ahead. Fine. Have a blast. We don't give a rat's ass about that. Don't talk about the game plan, though. Okay? We'll discourage you from that. And when you come to the sideline and we tell you or ask you what the hell you were doing, don't sit there and go, I didn't do anything wrong. Shut up.
Well, and, you know, and maybe, you know, again, not the conspiracy theory stuff, the alien stuff with Beadle and Zoe, but he did on Beadle and Zoe, you know, they asked him about his snaps and his lack of playing time certain weeks, and he says, yeah, man, I don't really get the game plan. Like, that sort of thing, it doesn't fly, and if that's being held against him, that I sort of get. You know, that's just never going to fly with Belichick. And so, well, anyway, there's the latest and maybe the last on Chase Winovich. I don't know if they're going to cut the guy, but I don't know how many more goofy interviews, radio interviews, he's going to be doing going forward.
Yeah, I don't know that I would call it cheap journalism. Like, you know, what we do is cheap
journalism. Oh, definitely.
I wouldn't even call it journalism. Right.
Yeah, no. What we do is cheap. There's no two ways about that. But Bedard, no. He's a, you know, a half a step ahead of us.
Pick it up on the other side in our long commercial-free segment.
It's just like eating an elephant. I'd say one bite at a time.
Boston's home for sports. Filger and Mads, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You can listen to Felger and Mass on your phone.
I don't care.
With the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
I'm just a sports talk radio host. I'm not a reporter.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Chase, is there anything that you heard from coaches throughout the year in your, you know, either conversations, official or otherwise, that would lead you to believe, though, okay, maybe there is something to that. Maybe it's been indicated to you a time or two. Hey, you know what? Maybe you should, you know, do a little less speaking in this situation, or, you know, maybe it has been imparted to you in some way that they would prefer you act a little bit differently in some areas. Or was this all just kind of out of the blue? Nope, none of this resonates with me at all.
Yeah, I'd rather not talk about this stuff, but yeah, that I assure you that really hasn't been an issue. I've tried to be conservative as possible with a lot of my interview stuff, and to be honest, I think it's one of the things where it's like the Patriots season fell far short of where we've been in the recent past, and you know, people are looking for answers as to, you know, why exactly it was that way. I'm just trying to align myself as part of the solution and not as part of the problem. Yeah, that's all I could really say about that. If there's an issue at hand and a coach has a certain feeling about it, I'm happy to discuss that. And like I said, I don't want to be a problem. I just want to come here, do my job as best I can, and help the team.
Fair enough.
Real quick, Maz, before I go back to the phones, you've been down on Winovich, you know, this year. Where do you stand on him today?
Look, I don't hate the guy. I think he's got some ability to be a player. I just think from the very beginning, his performance did not match his ego. Like, that's what it felt early on, you know, and I judged it early on from, like, some radio spots I heard. I went, oof. For a guy whose second year who hasn't done anything, he talks about it like he's Chase Matthews, you know, and he's taking down quarterbacks all the time. And I think, to me, that's probably the part about him that bugs the Patriots, as they look at him and said, no, you've been here 10 minutes. You've been here 10 minutes. Uche and Jennings, they've been here 5, but you've been here 10. So until you actually accomplish something, you're going to do it our way. And I, you know, to me, what Bedard reported is worrisome. Like, there's a guy that 2 years in is not getting the message, and you're never going to hit your potential, at least not here.
So let me tell you, you know, you can do the you're not doing it our way thing when you're winning divisions and going to the playoffs. When you're 7-9, the our way stuff, you know, doesn't fly with players and doesn't fly with anyone, nor should it. So, you know, another reason why they better start winning again, because Bill can't be an a-hole when he's losing. That it ain't going to work. Back to your phones here, as promised. Chris and Raynham, what do you got for us today, Chris?
Hey, guys, as we get closer to the playoff weekend, I don't know if Big Jim feels this way. My Tom Brady anger is turning more into sadness. This weekend, I'm getting ready to try to convince my wife to let me spend $500 on the divisional round game, see if I can go to a Super Bowl, calling to taunt you guys. And it's just turning into a sad thing. And I don't know how it's going to – with each playoff win, like I said yesterday – it's going to hurt Bill some more, but it's also going to hurt the Patriots some more, which makes me conflicted. Obviously, I'm Team Tom, but if he wins the Super Bowl with the Buccaneers, that just makes everything look so bad.
It does. It does, but that's the past. You don't think the more Brady wins, the more they'll be motivated to get back?
I don't know how much motivation you could have motivation, but they're in such a hole right now, Felger. And Maz, just one quick point. I heard you mention the next 4 or 5 years. They've already 0-1 in playoffs. Right now, if they had Brady, they would be in the playoffs. Even if you kept this same team, we lost out on memories. We lost out on a playoff run this year already because of them letting go of Brady.
Hold on. Well, I mean, well, let's put that to the side. Chris, when you say you want to spend $500 to go to a divisional game, are they selling tickets in Green Bay? Are they selling tickets in New Orleans? I mean, are you talking about that?
No, I'm talking about how every year for the past 20 years I've gotten used to that. And this year we don't have that because of the decision that Bill made.
Okay,
Bill,
I misunderstood you. I thought you said you were looking to go to one of these games.
Right.
Yeah,
I
me too.
That
I thought
either.
The same thing. Yeah.
I was curious if if you could even do that. Go ahead, Murray.
Yeah, I do think that, like you mentioned, Mike, there's a potential silver lining here for Patriots fans that don't want Brady to win. If he does win the Super Bowl this year, I think that's more motivation for this organization, the Patriots, to go back out and say, like, all right, we can't have this because now we really have egg on our face. The guy just won his 7th Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? No. Like, we have to retool, and maybe that exacerbates their retooling, and maybe they, you know, make a bigger move that they weren't thinking about doing. I actually think it could help.
Me too. The further Brady shoves it up Belichick's caboose, the harder Bill's going to have to work to get it out. The more money they're going to have to spend, the more aggressive they're going to have to be. I mean, that's what I'm hoping for. Like, that, I don't know. We've seen that in sports plenty. Yankees win, Red Sox are motivated. Red Sox win, Yankees are motivated. Things of that nature. You know, that's what you got to hope for. Or, you know, and even if it just drives home the error of their ways, they'll be less likely to repeat the error of their ways. And even if that doesn't happen, it's good content. So, you know, I'm rooting for all of it.
Right.
Pat and Wellesley. Go ahead, Pat.
Hey, guys. I love the show. Just wanted to call in and talk about Brady and Belichick. I think Brady needs to win this year, honestly. He's a competitor, and I respect him for going to Tampa Bay. And he has those weapons around him now. He has those receivers in Mike Evans, Godwin, Antonio Brown, and he's got Gronk with him.
So
he's got Rojo, Leonard Fournette.
Dude, I don't need the roster. We know the roster. Please.
Indomitian Sue.
Yes. I don't respect his decision to go to Tampa. I don't.
I understand. It's
a Mickey Mouse franchise.
Yeah.
He picked easy weapons and warm weather and no whiskey, no biscuit, and you lose booze, we snooze or whatever, you know, all that. Like, I hated the decision too. But if he wins at a high level, then he's right and I'm wrong. Like, again, I hate to keep, like, I'm talking to, like, a three-year-old, like, the consequences of the scoreboard, but that's what that does. If he goes on a run with that Mickey Mouse outfit, he wins. He's justified.
Yeah, so look, again, I understand what your point is. I'm telling you that I was on the Brady side of it already. So I think that, you know, I was more pro-Brady than I was more pro-Belichick. However, I will give you this, because the more, as we go on here, and the idea of if Brady gets to the Super Bowl, if Brady's in the Super Bowl, like, that one resonates with me. Ooh, will that look bad? Ooh, will that look bad? I just have a hard time connecting it to the Washington football team.
Well, that's where it starts,
okay,
obviously.
Okay, I know. I'm one step at a time. I get it. But I'm just telling you, if it becomes a run, and really that's what it's about. If Brady makes a run at a title, even if he doesn't win it, if he gets to the NFC Championship game.
Yes.
Like, that's going to look bad on the Patriots. That is going to look bad.
The hype increases. The knife is twisted. The screw is turned with every week. Yup. Don and Quincy. Go ahead, Don, unless this is Dan and Quincy.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi, Don.
Thanks for letting me on. Honestly, I'm up here visiting. I'm from Massachusetts, but I live in Florida, so I got a double whammy thing going on here. So I hear all the Brady hype, and I hear all the Belichick bash. I've been a Pats fan since Plunkett was quarterback. And I was a fan when Zolak was quarterback.
Okay, enough of the story time. What's your take?
Okay, I'm sorry. Anyway, I'm tired of hearing all the bashing on Belichick. The guy had no weapons to work with, and honestly, I don't think Brady would have done any better with the weapons he had this year in New England.
Maz, go ahead and ask him the question.
Okay, why didn't Bill have any weapons?
Brady didn't have any weapons last year, which is why we didn't do so good.
We went 12-4.
He went 12-4. But we had all the opt-outs on defense. I mean, our defense was sucked this year. And I've been a...
Hey, Don, just quickly. Who builds the roster and who drafted the players?
Let me answer for him, Bill.
Like, it's... So this is the thing that... And I understand people want to defend Bill. They believe in Bill. And I don't blame you for believing in Bill. The guy's the best coach I've ever seen. But the predicament they're in now, if he is the dictator of the football operation and the guy who runs the football operation and has final say on everything in the football operation, and the football operation goes south, well, then who? We're not supposed to blame him? Like, I can't comprehend that kind of logic. So if he's going to get all the credit, not all of it, but much of the credit that goes along with being coach, when he wins titles and name his boat 8 rings for all the championships he's won, and then he's going to build a team that goes 7-9, can't pass, and the defense goes backwards over the course of the season, I'm supposed to sit there and not blame him for that?
Look, we were about to give him all the credit in the world. In the offseason, when we were led to believe they had the guy in Stidham, they found their next Brady in the 4th round, and that's the guy. And then they signed Cam Newton, former MVP, and after the first couple weeks, he looks good. It's like, oof. You know, they're talking about Cam Newton for MVP this year after 2 weeks. It's like, look at Bill. He figured it out. No problem. Let's Brady go. He's got the answer. The train's still on the tracks. Still the Patriots. Here we go. We were all ready to do it.
Mike Tannenbaum is ready to give Newton an extension.
Well, I mean, go back and listen to the commentary after a couple weeks. We're like, Bill figured it out. They transitioned. They're in good shape. Turns out they weren't. So now you've got to, that's the scoreboard working there. It turns out it wasn't. The train wasn't on the track. Stidham wasn't the guy. Newton wasn't the guy. They didn't contend. So now it's the opposite. He wasn't ready. That's the way it works there. And the more Brady wins, the more that's driven home. But according to Jim Murray, if you're a Patriots fan that is not rooting for Tom Brady, you are a little child with a dump in your pants.
Yep. Full diaper.
One of the best lines so far here in 2021. And talk about twisting the knife. Is Brady already doing it a little bit down in Tampa? We'll reset that. We'll get back to the Celtics and Pritchard and Maz's thing for the little fellow there in green. We'll do it all after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.